Late last year, Emerson Network Power developed Energy Logic, a roadmap to reducing energy use in the data center. And what's so valuable about Energy Logic is that the savings for each recommended action is quantified, and it includes time to ROI. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So to set that up, what I'm going to do is just quickly recap where we are in energy efficiency, and more importantly, what surveys and the media and analysts are telling us that data center managers are looking for. From that, we're going to build into the energy saving strategies of Energy Logic, look at the impact. We're going to put forward some strategies and recommendations on how to use what we've learned from best practices, and in the end, solve what are the major problems for data center operators today, which are power, space, and cooling. Boy, that was easy. But as we look at and talk to data center managers, and we have data from our data center users group back in 2005, we pulse them every 6 months, and we can see from 05 heat and power density, availability, which is always important in the data center, of course, and space constraints. And as we moved into the end of last year, we see now we asked questions a little bit differently, but heat, power, efficiency, availability, space constraints. These are the top five, and they clearly outweigh everything else. And we've taken that information and from there gone and asked more specifically, well, what are your priorities in running your business as a data center operator? Clearly, SLAs, service level agreements, are vital. Performance, reliability, the ability to support new deployments, new applications as they come out, and of course, security we hear about all the time. In talking to data center managers, we ask, well, what about efficiency? And they all embrace the concept, but not if it violates any of the other criteria, service level agreements, reliability, et cetera. So we talk to the IT managers. They want to be on board with energy efficiency, especially if it solves their space, power, cooling requirements, but not if it impacts their ability to perform. So we then went and dug into this a little bit deeper, and what we heard is, hey, every time we turn around, there's a, you know, how to save 20% of your data center from somebody. Another company comes along and says, you know, hey, let's make ice and put it on the roof of the building or whatever. And they're looking for common sense, vendor-neutral information, something they can take and really sink their teeth into and understand from a logical perspective what's going on in the data center, how does it impact their SLAs, how does it impact their ability to perform their job, and will it really give them some savings, and what are those savings when they look at it over time? So they can then go to their management and say, hey, here's how we want to run our data center, here's why, and this is the value proposition it means to the company over time. So with that as a basis, we said, well, let's go take a look at what's going on in a data center. And one of the things that's universally accepted, whether we talk to people at the Green Grid or EPA, DOE, you know, the industry recognizes there is not a universal metric for data center output. A part of that's just due to the nature of the way data centers work. Some data centers are high-performance computing centers where we're number-crunching and figuring out the last decimal for the weight of an electron or whatever it is they're working on today. Then there's data centers that are streaming video centers. There are data centers that are really disaster recovery centers. There's so many different ways to slice and dice data centers. How do you know what the output of one is versus the output of another? So without a universal metric, the miles per gallon, for a data center, let's take a look at it from a consumption standpoint, meaning if we know what the data center is supposed to do, I'm the CEO of a major company, and I care that my applications run, my books close. I'm just using this as an example, folks. I'm not a CEO of a major company. I want to know that my business is running. And if you can run my business on less energy without a metric for miles per gallon for the data center, I really don't care. You're doing it more efficiently, and that is of concern. So we then said, all right, we can't measure it, but let's take a look at it. So what we have up on the screen right now is how we would split up a data center. Now, if you talk to IT managers, they'll tell you their wish for a data center is they want to put their servers in, which is the demand side, storage, which is part of the demand, and the communications. That's really what they run. So their apps run on that stuff. You won't find too many data centers that are rolled out where the applications run on the cooling infrastructure or on the power infrastructure, or for that matter, back at the utilities and the switchgear and the transformers. Apps don't run on that. That's required by the laws of physics to keep these data centers running, reliable, meet those SLAs, availability. So we know the work gets done on the demand side. Let's optimize where the work gets done. Let's focus on that and then see what happens across the rest of the support infrastructure that's there to require it. So we developed a concept we call energy logic. And what it is a logical approach to the use of energy in terms of the work that's performed in a data center. So again, the work that's performed is done on the demand side. The support side, the distribution and supply, those are required in order to make the demand be there. It's, you know, without the UPSs, without the cooling, without the switchgear and generators, you don't have a reliable data center, and we all know that. So let's look at putting a logical approach that starts at energy management throughout the data center. And there are three key messages to this energy logic concept. The first is that instead of taking this hodgepodge approach, and again, this is what the IT managers tell us is, now they can't open up a magazine, whether it's Computer World or Info World or some website that has the latest, you know, things in sliced bread to solve data center problems. They want a strategy, okay? And that's what it starts with, is taking a look at reducing the losses and the consumption of the IT equipment and making certain that we're optimizing the performance per watt. Again, we don't have a metric, but we can certainly look at the total consumption at the IT level. And every watt that we save at the IT level has a cascading effect upstream. Tom, one of the things I tell people when I get an opportunity to meet with them face-to-face is we're running our data centers today much like the way we would not run our house. And by that, I mean, if we ran our house like a data center, our stove would be on, or the oven would be on at 400 degrees F. The refrigerator doors would be open. All the lights would be on. We'd probably have the shower running just because we might use it sometime today. We don't want to be running our data centers like that. I may have taken a little overboard, but the reality is that we need to take a look at the equipment we're running in it and how we're managing it. We need to also do it without changing the availability and take a look at tools and techniques via high-density architecture that can allow us to optimize the data center. We built a model because in order to apply energy logic, you have to start somewhere. And looking at the vast number of data centers that that Liebert has, you know, worked with over the years, we have contracts in place with many of these, we know what they look like. The vast majority of them are in the 5,000, 10,000 square foot range and smaller. Yes, there are mega data centers, and yes, you can do a greenfield today and do all kinds of wonderful things, and we hope people will. But looking at actual data centers are now out there now, we built a model, and this is an example of what it looks like, about 5,000 square feet, server refresh rates on the 4 to 5 years. It's a heterogeneous mix of technologies and platforms. Really, it doesn't have a lot of high density out there, no virtualization, et cetera. And this data center, when we model it out, looks like this, as we see on the screen right now. About 1.1 megawatts worth of total power, that's between computing and lighting and UPS, the infrastructure requirements, et cetera. And as we see the green slice of the pie, there are a lot of ways to slice the pie up, but the green slice of the pie is comprised of utility equipment. I'm sorry, the computer equipment. That's about 52% of the power. And the other half is the distribution and supply side, and that's about 48%. So it's roughly 50-50 mix. And if we dig into this a little bit further, what we find is we have a thing going on called the cascade effect. The cascade effect is getting very granular, going right down to, in this example, the server component. But we could also do this in storage and go take a look at the drive. Or we could go look at the ASICs and the switches on a piece of network equipment. When we get down to where the actual work is getting done in the data center, we find that for every watt we can save there, we have a 1.84 cumulative or 1.84 multiplying effect, which totals up to 2.84 across the data center. Now, let me just walk through this for a moment. This is the important thing that we did by starting where the work gets done and working out through the building. So we find that we typically have embedded within the server a DC to DC converter and an AC to DC converter. So those the AC to DC converter is then attached to a line cord and goes to your socket in the wall or power strip or wherever you're applying it. But we can see that very quickly what was 1 watt is now up to approximately 1.18 watts. We get to the power distribution equipment. It adds up. We see the UPS. We have a few more losses there. We see the cooling, which has some additional loads, and then ultimately the switchgear and transformer. So these loads keep adding up on the original 1 watt. So it's much like saying, well, gosh, we're only going to save 100 watts per server, so why are we bothering when one is looking at upgrading equipment? Well, it's not because you're saving 100 watts per server. You're saving 284 watts for every 100 watts you save at the server. So the multiplying effect that you get is significant. So from the cascade effect, we learn that it's very important to start at the load. We've developed some strategies based upon what we've identified in the cascade effect and what we've identified in looking at the model of our data center. And these strategies allow us to take what was 1.1 megawatts and bring it down to about 500 kilowatts or reduce over 50% of the load in the data center. We'll see later that that also means space savings, cooling savings, and addresses the major concerns. But the way we get there, and these steps do not need to be taken in order. Okay, Tom? So what we're talking about here is really strategies. And the first four revolve around IT equipment choices. And I know that when Mark Monroe is speaking later, he's going to talk a little bit about some of the things that Sun is doing in terms of energy efficiency with IT choices. But it starts there. It starts at the demand side. So by taking a look at how we specify our servers so that we're looking for low-power processors combined with high-efficiency power supplies, we get a huge savings. Right, starting right there, we're looking about between the two, about 230 kilowatts of our 1.1 megawatt load, so 25% right there. Then simple things like turning on server power management. And we understand that the server shipped that way, and then the IT managers turn it off. So go back and turn that back on. Very simple strategy to pick up another 8% of savings. And then finally, going into some high-density architectures, again, in the IT choices. And other opportunities, server virtualization. I think we had people from VMware before on with us talking about that. And, that strategy represents a significant savings of energy. And we can work on through the list as we move into such things in the hardware side, such as variable capacity cooling, high-density cooling, bringing the cooling very close to the load. There's a lot of focus in the marketplace on that. It's a very valid strategy, and it's made equally more valid by reducing the load that you have to cool by taking those first strategies that we talked about. So when we get done with all of this, let's just take a look at what this means. And here's an example of the low-power processor. Now, we have determined that by but in this model, again, the 5,000 square foot model, we took all of the servers that were in there over a period of time and went from a typical 91 watt processor to a 70 watt processor. We achieved 40 kilowatts of direct savings at the processor level. So one could say, well, that's not a huge savings on 1.1 megawatts. Well, by itself, it's not. But again, taking into account that cascade effect, we save 40 kilowatts at the processor, save another 19 kilowatts at the power supply, and then 7 kilowatts at the UPS. And then because we don't need to cool all of that that we've already saved, we now save an additional 42 kilowatts in cooling. So a very simple 40-kilowatt reduction in processors nets us 111 kilowatts of total savings. That's the beauty of the cascade effect. And that's just looking at one of the 10 strategies and how it is impacted. But when we go right at the point of use, at the demand side, that's where we get the most effect from the cascade. So then looking at all 10 strategies, if we had the opportunity to apply all 10 at once, and we recognize in putting this together, we've talked to IT people, probably not too likely that someone's going to take in a 5,000 square foot data center all of the servers at one shot and replace them all with low power processors and high efficiency power supplies. We recognize that. But over time, making that, again, a strategy that one can go to management and say, here's my plan, here's what it means, here's what we're going to get out of it, we can show that over time we're going to move from that 1.1 megawatt load down to 542 kilowatts. So that's a huge savings, and here's where it comes from. We see the IT choices are going to net us about 221 kilowatt savings. About 38% of that load is reduced, 51% in the UPSs. Look at this. Because of those savings, we're getting 72% savings in the cooling. We wouldn't get all of those savings, again, if we hadn't done the steps up above. So we end up with a huge reduction in total power. Another way to look at it is an a la carte menu. So the initial concept is 10 strategies. Our recommendation in the marketplace is take these strategies, apply them over time. So you build a strategy for how you're going to manage consumption in your data center, which includes your IT choices going forward. But if you're not able to do that, let's take a look at what happens in an a la carte basis. And here we can see if you can only pick a couple, you certainly want to pick low-power processors and high-efficiency power supplies. I don't want to beat that one to death, but put those two together because you're not likely to open up the hood on all your servers and just replace the processors. You're probably going to do this on a go-forward basis, make it part of your purchasing spec. But you can certainly take a look at the value of server virtualization here as a standalone, 14% savings. As a standalone, high-density supplemental cooling, jumps to the top at about an 18% savings, or roughly about 200 kilowatts. So there's some strategies one could say, well, I'm going to go tackle these first because they represent the greatest opportunity for savings. When you're done, what does this look like? Back to that 5,000-square-foot model, we went from 5,000 in an unoptimized existing data center to about 1,800 square feet, a 65% reduction, or 65% free white space. So again, people said space, power, and cooling. Well, we just solved the space problem. Let's look at the power side. Okay, we went from requiring two 750 kVA UPSs down to 2x500. Are you going to rip out the old ones? Of course not. What it means is you have free capacity now for future growth because, let's face it, you're an IT manager, you're running out of space, power, and cooling, you need that power. Now that you've freed up the space, you've got free power. And again, your cooling loads have been cut in about in half, so now you have capacity for future growth. Okay, so you're going to take the strategy, you're going to talk to the folks at Liebert to help develop it, you're going to talk to your IT partners, and you're going to come up with a roadmap and go to your management. They're going to say, show me the money. Well, we've done the homework for them. Again, this is based upon some typical market data that we have, but you can see that by specifying low-power processors and high-efficiency power supplies, these things pay themselves off very quickly, on the order of 5 to 7 months for the power supplies, and the cost delta for the low-power processors says you're going to break even somewhere between 12 and 18 months, which means that energy savings from there on out for the life of that server is money going straight to the bottom line. And we can see some of the payback on these other ones. A power management feature is basically turning on a software switch. It's immediate. Same thing with server virtualization and the rest of it. So the payback times, these are not on the 3 and 5 year scale where you have to go really come up with a story to sell it to management. These are pretty much no-brainers. Now, as I mentioned previously, data centers look different. Some are high-performance compute centers. Some are streaming data. Some are transactional-based. And what we put together here is a way to take a look at, all right, how am I going to frame my strategy? What's it going to look like? My business model is a little different than the other guys across the street. So here's a top-level view of some of the strategies and recommendations that we have based upon your business. I would also suggest that give us a call. Let us get engaged with you as you're forming that strategy, because we can help you identify what this thing should look like, what it will roll out over the next 6, 12, 18 months, et cetera, and help you create a framework to go to management, say, this is what we're going to do. And we can help back that up with a portfolio of products and services. I'd like to start on the right side of the chart for just a second, and that is the data center assessments. So the 10 strategies that we've identified sound very simple and very easy to do. And for the most part, on a go-forward model for IT equipment, specifying low-power processors and high-efficiency power supplies, that's relatively easy to do, and you'll find the IT equipment managers, again, Mark's going to talk about it later, they embrace this. It'd be very easy for them to roll that up in what they're talking to you about. But in terms of the actual data center, in terms of making some of these improvements in space utilization and cooling optimization, we recommend you start off with an assessment. You know, don't try this at home. Train professionals only. Get an assessment, whether you contact the EPA and DOE or your local utility or your local LIBOR office. Start somewhere. Have a power assessment, a cooling assessment. Make certain it doesn't impact your availability and reliability. Again, these IT professionals, SLAs, are top of the mind. You know, so get a professional to come in and help you, and then they will probably blend products, cooling size, such as the Libre DS, Libre Digital Scroll, Libre XD, or new technology and power architectures that allow soft scaling, high efficiency operations upwards of 97%, perhaps flywheel technology. There's a host of ways to get there. Again, trained professionals can help you build the strategy and then map out the deployment to get there. So, in summary, where are we at with Energy Logic? Well, actually, four key messages. Start with a strategy. Build a sound framework going forward on how you're going to manage your IT assets, deploy future IT assets, manage your critical infrastructure, and recognizing that every watt saved at the equipment level has got that cascading effect upstream through the rest of the building. If you walk away with nothing else from this presentation, grab that cascade effect chart, put it up on the wall, and tell people that's why we're making the decisions we're making. Remember that you've got to reduce your energy consumption, but do it without impacting SLAs. There are a lot of wacky ideas out there. We've heard some that are just so far off the wall, it's incredible, and they significantly impact availability. So challenge every recommendation on the basis of what does this do to my ability to support my SLAs. Look at high-density architecture. That 5,000-square-foot space, we're able to collapse it down into about 1,800 square feet. On a go-forward model, after you've got it down to 1,800 square feet, don't go back to 3 and 5 kilowatts per rack on the rest of the white space. Stay in high density. You're going to get higher performance, higher efficiency in cooling, and better utilization of your white space. So go to high-density architectures. And then finally, even if energy efficiency is not important to you, and I don't know where that could be any more time with gas at $4 a gallon, but if energy is not important to you, certainly space optimization, getting more use of your data center white space, maximizing the availability of your power, reliability of your power, and the density of your power out on your floor, and then cooling optimization. We recognize that's a big part of the energy budget, so let's optimize it. Let's use technologies and best practices that are out there to get the most bang for our buck. So four key strategies at the end of the day, we're going to save you space, power, and cooling. All right? Thanks very much for your attention.